So welcome back to Launde Chapel and to the second session of our online retreat, still before Christmas. And our theme today is There Is No Normal. So as we begin, I'm going to today light the second candle on our Advent wreath and then say a prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that with the coming of Jesus Christ, everything changed and all sorts of things have been made possible. So make us open to the new things that you want to do in our world, in us, and through us in these times. As we open our hearts and minds to you again today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So I'm going to read the beginning of the Christmas story as recorded in Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here at Launde, we've always enjoyed the Christmas season, welcoming people to Christmas lunches through December, with many joining in a daily carol service in the chapel before their meal. This year, sadly, it is not to be. But in recent years, our carol services have included a recorded sketch to offer a humorous and hopefully insightful take on the Christmas story. This year's has been ready and recorded, but unfortunately now not being used. So I thought I'd offer it to you instead as part of today's reflection. It is called Rumble the Donkey.
There's something good about winter for a donkey. Resting up, not having to go anywhere, putting work behind you for a time. Granted, the weather's not so good and I can miss the outdoor life, but that'll come around again all too quickly in the spring. I'll cope with a bit of social distancing. It's warm in here and I've got plenty of sweet-smelling, crunchy, mouth-watering hay. We all need times of rest.
Did I hear something about rest? Not for us this winter, Rumble. We've got a long and unexpected journey to accomplish. Ever been to Bethlehem?
Oh, no thanks. I'm on furlough.
I think you mean mute. Donkeys don't talk, let alone answer back.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure. What about Balaam's?
Okay, it happened once. But it's not normal.
Normal? Normal's very last year. You've spent most of this year talking about a new normal. I mean, what about you and Mary? Well, that's hardly normal. Getting pregnant before the wedding's not good, but it does happen. But making out it's something to do with God, or so an angel said, well, that's not really normal. And Nori's up in sticks and heading off to some foreign place in the middle of winter.
It's not foreign. Bethlehem is the city of David, one of my ancient ancestors. And anyway, we've got no choice. The emperor wants to count everybody, so we've got to go to our own town to register. But I don't need to justify it to you. Your job is not to think, but just to do what I ask.
Well, looks to me like thinking isn't high on your job description either. I'm happy to go along with this idea that you weren't exactly responsible for Mary's condition, that God was involved in some way, although I know many are not convinced of either of those things. Your innocence or God's, well, conceptual ability, if I could put it like that. But heading off now, when Mary's so close to producing her baby and you don't know exactly what will meet you at the other end. Now that's risky. If you'll pardon me saying so, that's not normal.
Well, you're absolutely right. But what can I do? You may not always want to do what I ask of you, but in the end, I make the decisions. I may not want to do what the emperor demands, but I'm not sure I really have much choice. If the emperor says, socially isolate, we stay at home. If he says, travel here, we go there. These are not easy times, but you have to choose your battles. And honestly, this baby is not my doing. I'm doing my best to believe Mary when she says it isn't anybody else's either. So maybe God is in this situation and we just have to trust him.
Well, what's it worth me choosing not to make this my battle?
A carrot?
Oh, I suppose it's better than a stick.
Ah, this is Bethlehem, but it's so much busier than I expected. People everywhere wanting somewhere to stay. We've got to find somewhere soon. Mary's getting near to her time. She needs to rest.
Tell me about it. I'm exhausted. Your good lady's a bit heavier than usual. It's getting dark and I'm hungry. I need some hay. What about this inn here?
We can try. Excuse me. Have you got a room for us? My wife is soon to have a baby.
Oh, all the rooms have gone, sir. Everyone's here for the census. We've got nothing left but the stable.
I'll have it. I can't go another step. I'm sure you and your missus will find somewhere, but, well, this is perfect for me. I'm drooling already over that delicious pile of hay in the feeding trough over there.
Well, we all can't go another step. This journey's bringing on the baby and we'll have to stay here. It's the stable for everybody. Can you lie down, Rumble, and let Mary rest against you? I think the baby's coming. What a night. I can't quite believe what's happened. We were about to leave Rumble here in this stable to look for rooms when Mary said, stop, the baby's coming. And so it did. And we were only just recovering from that when these local shepherds arrived. I quickly put the baby down in the first place I could find, which was the feeding trough in the corner. But then they cried out, that's it. That's where they said we'd find him. Apparently, an angel had appeared to them on the hillside saying a saviour had been born who'd be the Messiah and that they'd find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And here was exactly that. So just as well I'd put him there. Well, just as well you'd stopped in here, Rumble. Otherwise there would have been no manger, no shepherds and no message from the angel that just begins to make sense of it all. The strange pregnancy, this journey, a baby in a manger. Oh, but Rumble, you were about to have your supper when all this kicked off. You must be ravenous by now. I'll move the baby.
No, no, it's all right. Let the little one sleep. Strangely, I'm not hungry anymore. Well, at least not in that way. It's as if a deeper hunger's been touched, and nothing else really matters. I'm so glad we came on this journey. I wouldn't have missed it for anything. And to think I might just be self-isolating in Nazareth.
Well, I'm sure things will get back to normal soon.
Well, not too soon. Not too soon.
Talking donkeys may seem a rather lightweight introduction to a serious retreat talk, but as Rumble himself reminded us, they are not without scriptural precedent. And they can make an important point that if we are to engage with the Christmas story, we will need holy imagination and the willingness to step beyond the normal. Normal has become quite a significant word for us this year, hasn't it? Many is the time that people have talked about when things get back to normal, or expressed a longing for that to happen, while others have questioned whether that will ever happen, and that we will have to learn to embrace a new normal. Well, I think there's legitimacy in both perspectives. Of course, we want some so-called normal things to return, to be able to touch and hug and greet each other again without fear, to experience cultural and educational and social occasions together in theatres or football grounds or restaurants and pubs, and of course, to worship and to sing and to pray in the company of others. Yet we must also not forget that so-called normal was not working for everybody. And this pandemic has highlighted inequalities and injustices that will need to be addressed, and some of the priorities of our modern lifestyles which have been seriously skewed. It is also, I think, true to say that normal wasn't always working for the church. And this pandemic has exposed some of the fragilities and made us ask, what is really essential and real about our life and mission? So maybe we all need to hear the invitation and opportunity for a new normal. But normal does offer us a certain security. The very first Harry Potter book sets the scene for the extraordinary adventures that are to come with what I love in a wonderful beginning. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of Number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were normal. Thank you very much. They were the last people you'd expect to be involved in anything strange or mysterious, because they just didn't hold with such nonsense. Well, this brief description of the Dursleys will get amplified as the books progress. And they point to normal first as a question of identity. In this case, white, suburban, middle class, heterosexual. And then also normal as a matter of disposition, self-content, if not complacent, risk-averse, unimaginative, dismissive of the different. And actually, these Dursleys become quite unlikable, not because of who they are in itself, because, like for any of us, that's what we inherit, that's what we are born into, but of how they use this to dismiss others, to assume a stance of superiority, to guard their so-called status oppressively, which is what poor Harry has to endure. And actually, if we're going to engage with the Christmas story, we have to risk the realm of the strange and mysterious. If not talking donkeys, then certainly talking angels, strange visitations, and an extraordinary birth. However, in Luke, he begins with an all too pragmatic, with the all too pragmatic political world of power and control. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. A census was essentially about information and could be justified on the grounds of order and security, all of which the Romans were particularly good at, and which, as we saw yesterday, was beneficial to the mission of the early church as the new faith spread out across the empire. Power and order, though, can come at a cost. And Mary and Joseph present a vulnerable picture in their enforced journey late in a pregnancy to a place where there was no welcoming or safe accommodation or support. We all have to live within a context of controlling powers, benign or oppressive. And this year, especially whatever our circumstances, we have been very conscious of those powers, whether a deadly threat to health or government restrictions and orders about where we can or cannot go, or of demanding work or lack of it in furlough or even redundancy. Someone said recently that if we have had to learn anything this year, it is that we are not in charge, which is humbling and maybe even frightening. Sometimes those powers call for resistance and change, as we have seen with, say, racism and the Black Lives Matter campaign. Sometimes those powers just need disarming by living out another story within their constraints. You have to choose your battles, said Joseph in the sketch to Rumble. And for him, refusing to go to Bethlehem just because the emperor demanded it was not the one he was going to fight. Because more importantly, he discovered that another story was at work even within the good or bad intentions of the emperor. It may have been inconvenient, unreasonable, uncaring to be ordered to Bethlehem in their situation. But as it is embraced, it becomes a divine adventure. I think of Joseph's namesake in the Old Testament, who was maliciously sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, but by the end of the story is heard saying to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Within the oppressive intentions of his brothers, he had found the liberating, redeeming power of God. And that, I think, was in many ways prophetic of the Joseph that was to come. But here there was even more for Joseph than just submitting to the emperor's decree. And that's caught in the verses that follow. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Well, that certainly went beyond the expectations of normal, of common propriety, of how he might have expected God to work. For though we know from the previous narrative that there was no misconduct here on Mary's behalf, that is not how it would have appeared. That is not how it would have been interpreted. So for Joseph to be in tune with God's bigger purpose here required huge risk, stepping beyond the normal way of seeing things, to be open to surprise, misunderstanding, isolation if it all went wrong. Normal can be a way of keeping everything safe, predictable, and under our control, defending ourselves against God's more surprising providence, the way he works through the unexpected people and situations, those who may not have got it all right in human terms, but somehow know their need of him and of other people. And maybe sometimes we worry that we're not quite normal enough for God. We struggle too much with temptation, or we worry too much about the future, or we don't tick all the boxes for what we think a good Christian should look like or behave like. But maybe, though, that's exactly where God is to be found, in the struggle, in the worries, in the discrepancies and differences, in the risk of a life lived vulnerably. Well, breaking out of the normal cannot have been easy or straightforward for Joseph, and I don't think it's easy for us. He obeyed the emperor, but he disobeyed any social pressure that he should not be standing by the likes of Mary. And neither stance would have been easy. There was no Bolshe rebel here, but nor was there one who would just do what society expected or required. He found a way to go on the divine adventure of a new normal. How are you with that sort of adventure? I must confess, I'm not always that good with change. I don't like transitions and can feel quite insecure without the normal and the familiar. As this upside down year has progressed, I've identified within myself an underlying anxiety a lot of the time at the uncertainties of it all. Recently, I've had some new glasses. These actually are the second attempt at new glasses. The first pair I had was all over the place. I felt I wasn't really connecting with the world out there. It just all seemed a bit of a blur. I found it difficult to focus. So they called me back and retested me at the opticians and concluded that although the prescription was right, the change in one of the eyes was too big a step in one go, and my brain was clearly not able to handle it. So they adjusted it, and I'm pleased to say I'm doing much better. And I found that a helpful reminder that God doesn't ask us of impossible change all at once. He meets us where we are. He leads us into a new normal. But like Joseph and Mary, he needs us to step out and risk the adventure, trusting that he will be there in the unexpected places, revealing his grace in unexpected people and in unforeseen ways. So this Advent, we may want to take time to reflect on the journey we've been on through this extraordinary year and ask God to show us how he is leading us and where he wants to take us. And are there companions on that journey that we might not have considered? Is there something new emerging out of the loss of the normal, which he's inviting us to find and embrace? I'll offer you a couple of questions in a moment to reflect on. But before we finish, here is a prayer that is attributed to Sir Francis Drake. Let us pray. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when, with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and to push back the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. This we ask in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. So a couple of questions to reflect on through today. What disruption of the normal have you found most disturbing in recent months? And is there something new emerging out of the loss of the normal, which God is inviting you to find and embrace?